Hello. This is one of several supplemental podcasts I'm including with my Evolutionary Services Group talks. The central theme of this podcast deals specifically with identifying what the Aquarian new civilization would look like in the new era, with right-human relations at its core. This talk directly relates to the activities of all the Evolutionary Services groups. Although it is hard to see at this point, we are moving toward building a new world, a better civilization based on spiritual principles of cooperation, goodwill, inclusiveness, tolerance, and unity. The question arises, how do we bring this new civilization into fruition? To be clear, this is not going to be a discussion about utopian ideas, but approach the subject from an esoteric viewpoint with practical ideas and understanding. Here we're going to do two things: describe what a paradigm shift might look like and describe what humanity and civilization looks like when right human relations is functioning at every level of society. First, in previous podcasts, I've looked at the nature of crisis and how it can be an opportunity for finding solutions and moving forward. I've also discussed the concept of leadership, changing our perception that we are interconnected with each other and the environment, working with power and authority, use of the will, implementing the will to good, the ideal government, and discussing the path toward international consciousness. It is necessary to have some understanding of these subjects before we create a new civilization. But first, let's provide some background. What is the meaning of civilization? Over time, civilizations have been described by their forms of government, social stratification, economic systems, and their level of literacy and other cultural traits. The greatest philosophers through the ages, from Aristotle to Pythagoras to Rousseau to Voltaire to Schweitzer, have written down various ideas of what civilization is and supposed to be. Problem with these philosophies, over time, he involved one concept that man is interpreting what he thinks is behind evolution and what is important to humanity. He largely observes life from a material point of view. The belief was affirmed during the Age of Enlightenment, from the 17th and 19th centuries, where the natural world was seen as mechanistic and interpreted with scientific and mathematical eyes from leading thinkers such as Descartes, Newton, and others. During that time, it was believed that man's intellectual powers, coupled with rational and scientific thought, would improve the human condition. The idea gave birth to the Industrial Revolution in the 18th century. Through their applied scientific principles, material life was improved in the succeeding generations. Still, the higher non-material and transpersonal realizations were not recognized and deemed as important. While there is a kernel of truth in these, man must learn to step back from an intellectual-dominated society without losing what he has learned to one that is spiritually inspired and driven. This requires the soul and knowledge of the plan, and these must be drivers for what is best for society and civilization. In this podcast, we are wanting to stress the idea that if man wants to progress from a mostly materialistic civilization to one of spiritually defined and oriented, then he must look to another way of viewing the world and its forms. Certainly, one way is for material thinking man to reorient his mind by clearing away anything that blocks this type of spiritual viewpoint. This would undoubtedly require the conceptual or concrete mind to give way and letting the energy of buddhi, or the flow of the intuitional plane, the intuition, thus purging any illusions that we have, and see life as it is and not how we think it is with our limited vision. It is the higher vision that inspires and gives the service worker a direction to follow. Let's talk a little bit about following higher impulses. With a sense of the overall objective in mind, it is important to be aware of how both individuals and groups are working within civilization and culture. When we are setting about changing a system or a process, then in our context, we need to be aware of where our consciousness is at a given moment and how we are using our minds. The esotericist asks, am I wisely employing my energies with intelligent intent, or what is my motive or purpose, and is my consciousness aligned with the soul instead of my personality? This certainly makes a difference for right orientation in thought form creation, but we do not want to build thought forms directly. Instead, we are working along indicated lines of connecting with the soul and keeping our minds open to impression, A time will follow when the thought form will slowly and naturally come into manifestation and will become a living embodiment of the desired idea, alive and vitalized. The server then will be ready for service. Keep in mind, as servers work within the periphery of hierarchy, they are the hands and the feet for implementing change on the physical plane. When the mind is focused in the present on what we think should be done in a particular field of activity, for example, in the political and social fields, our personality-generated thought forms often block any higher impressions or ideas coming from the soul or master. When service workers are implementing hierarchical work, they are functioning both esoterically and exoterically on the physical plane. In this spiritual enterprise, servers express a love for all beings, regardless of kingdom, and understand the true meaning of Aquarian love. They are working to bring forth ideals of the Aquarian age, such as cooperation, goodwill, acceptance, inclusiveness, and unity. Just as the master holds the ideal of group unity, the server must work in the world by practicing right human relations and spreading goodwill in all he does. For the server and ultimately for civilization, these practices make the ideas of unity and group cohesion real on the physical plane. As much as these energies are held and practiced, then the work of the hierarchy is brought closer to humanity and the plan is being implemented. So let's now look at what would a paradigm shift look like in civilization. In considering a paradigm shift in consciousness, we must acknowledge that the consciousness of man is ever-changing and evolving. But evolving towards what? Our idea here is that we are moving towards a world where right human relations are practiced at every level of society and through all the evolutionary services group. In our world today, we have war, poverty, hunger, famine, selfishness, separation, greed, corruption, and abuse of the world's wealth and resources, which are not shared by all. These perennial problems can only be solved with a change of heart and very real practical solutions. In reality, these problems will be solved over a number of generations of cooperation and require the combined efforts of the world's leaders in politics, industry, education, ecology, and economics. That's only after they can come to agreement and share resources and carry out the solutions. For identifying humanity's problems and moving towards solutions, a blueprint of sorts needs to be created. This is being done by servers from each of the evolutionary service groups working under the impression from the spiritual hierarchy. The goal is to facilitate humanity in shifting from a mindset of selfishness and separation towards a global consciousness of love and unity. And this will result in a paradigm shift in the social, religious, economic, scientific, and political spheres to bring about an unfoldment of consciousness towards practicing right human relations and establishing the kingdom of God on earth. Needless to say, this is an enormous objective that no one individual or group can accomplish alone. Once this is accomplished, or even in the process of change, after generations of work by the servers of all evolutionary service groups, a paradigm shift in human consciousness can take place. As an observer of our world and its condition, this great work would be answering the questions of what needs to be done and how it will be accomplished. For solving humanity's problems, I've discussed some of these possibilities in previous podcasts for the educators, the political organizers, and the trained observers. If humanity is to make a paradigm shift from the separative me versus them mentality towards a world working with unity consciousness, then we need to address the proverbial elephant in the room or world. The number of different approaches should be considered, such as forcing my vision on others. Yes, it's easy to say, I've seen the vision or light, and therefore you must do as I say. This is the old outmoded authoritarian mindset, which is not what this teaching is about. Another possibility is the answer is before us, but we have chosen to ignore it. Putting it simply, we just need to teach and practice right human relations in all that we do. This entails applying spiritual values such as love, kindness, cooperation, goodwill, understanding, and tolerance. All of the great philosophies and religions have taught this for thousands of years. It is a matter of acknowledgement and application. Also, know that the work that is practicing right human relations by a service worker is not done just in meditation or in his special spiritual group. This practice must permeate his mind, his emotions, and etheric body so that all forms of hatred, separatism, harmfulness, and selfishness will be expunged. The service worker must become an exemplar of the teachings. By decentralizing the personality, this will allow the higher values of the soul to permeate the mind and transform the life of the service worker and enable his heart to be open. When this consciousness is truly present, it will become radiatory for others to both physically, psychically, and objectively see, so that they too can be transformed by their own choice. How? Others will see and feel the transformative energy of the effects of living in the light of love and unity. They will be attracted to it and eventually choose it for themselves. This concept is at the heart and core of the paradigm shift to happen. Much of what this teaching is about is presenting you of a higher vision of what can be. The goal is to hold this vision on the inner planes in your consciousness as a form of subtle activism, that is, a form of influence that radiates to all humanity. You, then, are focusing your mind, your thoughts, and your feelings on higher spiritual values in a quantum field to present a vision on the inner planes for any and all to see. This is a powerful, subtle influence you can evoke. Using the esoteric axiom, energy follows thought, it makes sense to connect with the soul and to attract to ourselves the possibility of a new and different way. We can describe in great detail many things that should and need or needs to be done by each of the 10 evolutionary service groups in our world to make this transition to the Aquarian Age. We can cite thousands of books and papers and essays with respect to what should be done and to change X group for process for improving society from the best minds and philosophers in the field. And that would be only if they would come to an agreement with a common vision. To do this, we must understand that humans are at the center and heart of any and all changes in the world, regardless of society or culture. It is the mind of man who sees the world in a certain linear or materialistic way, but cannot seem to get past his limited thinking. Another point to keep in mind. With the mind of man always engaged in some type of crisis management, is his mind ever at rest? Can we see a time and place where there is no conflict or seriously reduced between ethnic groups or nations or human relationships? Even service workers focus on implementing, manifesting, or creating. It's always the idea that we're not there yet. Can we not use our minds, our imagination, and intuition to imagine and draw ourselves to a world beyond crisis and suffering? Can we see the new civilization as it looks like, vital and functioning? This is not intended as a pie-in-the-sky thought or activity. So let's talk about that actual possibility right here of visualizing the new civilization with right human relations at its core. Our first exercise was about knowing and implementing changes on the physical plane to create the conditions for a paradigm shift in man's consciousness to become more harmonious, loving, and conscious. Our second exercise is about visualizing or seeing what the new civilization looks like sometime in the future when all the 10 evolutionary service groups and civilization are functioning with right human relations at their core. We are not wanting to create a utopian vision or describe the steps how humanity solves its myriad of problems. This activity is a type of witness exercise. Perhaps we can look at it through the eyes of what an anthropologist might see if he or she is viewing the new civilization and what it would look like without any judgments or preconditions or conceptions, just observation. Keep in mind that the spiritual hierarchy already has a firm idea of how the divine plan and civilization should unfold and evolve too. Theirs is an ideal that they hold in consciousness for working out. For us, this is akin to seeing the vision and reaching the goal. Our goal here is to describe what a world looks like with cooperation, the expression of the will to good, and practice harmony, as this is what everybody does. Naturally, this is actually a real esoteric activity, as we will be engaged in thought form building. By your understanding of what you see, you are helping to attract to you and define what a service group ideally looks like if right human relations are controlling and governing all aspects of this manifestation. When describing what you see, you might want to create a vision statement of sorts. It would define the characteristics, the ideas of what the new civilization would look like after it has come into being, not how it came to be created or came into being. To describe the characteristics of what the new civilization would look like with right human relations at its core, here are a few initial questions one might ask. What do the political organizers and governments look like, and how do they function? What is the state of workers in the field of religion? And how are the many faiths working together? What does the New World religion look like? What does education in the New Age emphasize and teach? What ideas are the telepathic communicators and the trained observers communicating? What type of economic system has the financial services group created? How do the psychologist and the magnetic healers appear and interact with each other? And how do the scientific servers function? When answering these questions, you are probably using the creative imagination to get some type of idea and describe what life would look like in the new civilization. It is a very challenging exercise because most of us are used to conflict in our thinking, which affects our behavior. Although the hearts of everyday individual is basically good, his personality is still motivated by base desires of anger, fear, selfishness, and greed. As a result, our current civilization reflects these energies and keeps us from manifesting or seeing what the new civilization could be like. Once the vision statement is put together, servers, NGOs, societal institutions can use it to clearly see what their task is and will help in avoiding wasting time on peripheral issues. Also, this would save time and energy, just as having a blueprint allows a builder to accurately build a house. We keep in mind that there's already existing a kernel of spiritual essence in all the 10 evolutionary service groups of what we may be. Another thought on this, in our attempts at seeing the future possibility, we really do not visualize the new civilization whole. We only visualize a small piece, an ideal or an archetype of what we think it will lead to. This makes it more difficult for the new civilization to appear. Unless you can see the vision of the plan whole, as the master would see it, you will be limited in only seeing a small portion. Nevertheless, visualizing a future possibility via impression for even a small section can be very useful from the hierarchy's point of view, as this is how most service workers and high-level initiates are working in the world today. They get an impression or an idea for making a certain X project work, they have some idea how it fits into the greater picture, and then they set out to make it happen. If the service workers, under the inspiration of the spiritual hierarchy, want something to manifest using the creative imagination or using certain esoteric techniques, then they will need to clearly define the vision and the goal. If we all envision the same new civilization together, then it is far more likely that it will come about. So here's a few notes on visualization. Without any thought of how humanity got through its innumerable crises, we will mentally operate in consciousness and acting as if the new Aquarian age is in place and we observe what it looks like. During this meditation, as you, number one, get an impression, number two, identify with it, and number three, put it into words. The idea and the impression is something you will be drawn towards. When you see a vision of something that is reformed, it is a completed process. But if you have a revelation, such as an impression, you are in the process of observing and it's not completed yet. For example, healthcare is reformed, religious practices are reformed, and political interactions are improved. So write down the end result and what it looks like as you see it. The how is for the innumerable service groups working in the world today to bring about the new civilization. So this concludes this podcast. You might also listen to my other podcasts that supplement my talks on the evolutionary service groups. These are titled Synthesis, Group Integration, and Crisis. And the other one is titled Implementing Creative Solutions Through Visualization and Right Thought Form Building.